That seafood you just bought from the supermarket, or that calamari you had the other day at the restaurant, do you care where it came from? I'm not talking about food safety here. I mean about the work that went into catching that fish. Because what we're about to tell you will make you think twice about that. An investigation by the Associated Press has found that a lot of the seafood we eat in this country may come from slaves in Asia. Martha Mendoza can tell us more about this story. She's one of the AP reporters who dug into this. Martha, welcome. What did you find?
What we found is that men, largely migrants, in Southeast Asia are being forced to fish. And what really shocked us was we came to an island where the men were locked up in a cage. They spoke of being beaten. They talked about people being killed at sea. They talked about being whipped with stingray barbs, meager rations, unclean drinking water, really a terrible life.
So who are these slaves? Like, what country do they come from? Where are they working? And how do they end up in this position?
The men we spoke to were from Myanmar, which is formerly known as Burma. And in fact, some of them hadn't known that it's now Myanmar. It had been so long. They were coerced into slavery. So it can happen in a few different ways. They can be flat out kidnapped. They can be offered a job, which when they go for the job, they realize is not the job they signed up for. They can pay somebody to give them work. And then when they get there, they are told they must pay further in order to be fed and have shelter. And so they're in what's called debt bondage. These men had started out in Myanmar. They were taken to Thailand, and then they were taken out to Indonesia to fish, and their fish were brought back to Thailand.
You said that some of these slaves didn't even know their country's name had been changed to Myanmar. So how long have they been away and in a state of, as you say, slavery?
There were men who spoke of being enslaved for 5, 10, even more years.
The idea that you had access to these men, these laborers, these slaves, it's pretty amazing. How safe was it for them to even talk with you?
It wasn't safe for them, and it wasn't safe for us. My colleagues who were on the island at one point actually gave a hand cam to a dock worker who was sympathetic to the men in the cage, and he carried it over, and they talked into this camera, glancing around, and the footage dodges all over the place because a security guard is coming by. And we also knew that we were needing to stay very low profile there. It was not a safe situation for anybody.
What are these men fishing for? Are we talking high-end delicacies, shrimp, or some kind of all-purpose whitefish?
Snapper, grouper, mackerel. There was some shrimp in their catch. There was even some tuna in their catch, although this was not a tuna fishery. Kind of a variety of seafood.
And is there any kind of correlation between the quality of the seafood and the kind of quality of labor conditions they're working under?
I don't know the answer to that question. Their seafood that we tracked back to the United States, you know, it's tied in the supply chains of pet food, but also frozen packaged seafood.
And ending up in some pretty well-known retailers, right?
Sure. I mean, the brands that we saw end up in most of America's largest food retailer, Walmart, the largest food distributor, Sysco. We traced it back to the supply chains of Albertsons, Kroger's, Safeway. It's very widespread.
Martha, why is this happening? I mean, who's supposed to be enforcing proper fishing and labor practices in this part of the world?
There's actually many countries and many governing agencies working hard to stop trafficking in the seafood industry. The United States State Department and Department of Labor have written reports very recently that there's human trafficking in the Thai seafood industry. The Thai government has promised to reform. The Indonesian government is cracking down on foreign fleets in its waters, saying they won't be allowed to fish there. So there's a lot of awareness this is going on, and there's a lot of different legal avenues to stopping it. Whether they are actually going to be enforced is another question. Until now, clearly they haven't been.
So the men who were in these cages that you interviewed, what happened to them?
This is why this story got so complicated. We would not use their images or video of them talking until we knew they were in safety. And so, well, on one hand, we were tracking their seafood by satellite and actually stocking the truckloads to the processing plants. Our second line of work was to figure out how to get them to safety. And so we worked with the International Organization for Migration, which in turn worked with police. And the men who are featured in our story have been brought to safety.
You know, the quote of the man who said, "When Americans eat seafood, we want them to think of us." Was that one of these laborers?
Right. This is a man who has had his life taken away from him. He thought he was going to be working in Thailand, perhaps, but what he ended up was out on a boat in Indonesia with 22-hour shifts, cruel conditions, and all day long catching fish, thinking about who's going to be eating this.
Yeah, that quote just hit me like a punch in the gut. That was AP reporter Martha Mendoza, part of the team that uncovered this story.